I'm expecting him to look at me and be like, why you look like that?
Yeah. Or you don't see your hair mash up.
Why does your hair look like?
Melanin and Me. Exploring the Black woman's experiences in Britain.
Hey, lovely ladies. Welcome back to Melanin and Me. Before we dive into today's episode, we want to remind you how you can stay up to date with our latest content. We release episode every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to Melanin and Me on your preferred podcast platform so that you don't miss out on any episodes. You can also follow our inspiring content on social media by searching Melanin_and_me on Instagram, or find us on Facebook at Melanin and Me UK. If you felt empowered or motivated from any of our episodes, we love to hear it, so feel free to contact us by emailing melaninandme@yahoo.com or slide on in on our DMs on our social accounts. Don't forget to share some love, drop us a review, and share with any of your fellow queens who might be uplifted by tuning into Melanin and Me. For now, enjoy today's episode.
Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of Melanin and Me. Today with us we've got Dee, who's the founder of Crown the Melanin. Dee, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to develop the platform Crown the Melanin, which I absolutely love, by the way. I love that name.
Yes,
thank you. Oh gosh. I started Crown the Melanin roughly 2 years ago. But I'd done the big chop way before that. So I'd had maybe natural hair, maybe about a year and a half. Okay. So nobody actually saw the struggle that I went through trying to know how to style it, to know what product.
Was this during lockdown? Was it aligned with lockdown?
It wasn't during lockdown because I had natural hair in lockdown. I had natural hair longer than I think. It could have been maybe 3 years then. I had it before lockdown hit. I remember that part.
Okay.
But I feel like lockdown was where I really learned to nail my hair routine and how to style my natural hair, because all I had time for was YouTube videos, is social media, is Netflix. So I had no excuse to not learn a new skill. So it was actually in lockdown I learned how to braid my own hair. I think everybody came up with some form of new idea, new skill. But people always used to see me and say, oh, how did you get the curls so defined? How did you get it to last so long? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start a hair page. But I was so nervous about the side eyes and the, oh God, here she jumped up the natural hair wave, that I started up the page, but I never used it. I kind of just made the page and left it. I don't even know where Crown the Melanin, the name, came from. It just came to me. And then one day my best friend followed the page and I was like, oh God, I've been found out. I haven't even found out.
They dug you out.
Yeah, she just was liking all the posts that I put up. She commented, she even shared the page to her story. And I was like,
I love friends like this. We all need friends like this, who not only are they stalking you, but do you know what it is on like Instagram and stuff like that? It comes up with like suggested, like, oh, these are ones. And then you're like, hold on, this is Dee's page, what?
Because her wedding pictures was where I had my first picture taken, like a headshot. So it was the first picture. She was like, I know this picture. This was my wedding. So I said, you know what? I've started this page now. I'm going to have to start. And then all these followers started to come, like 100, 200 people. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to just go for it. And then I can't get out the room. We have to cut that. I'm so sorry. My partner just came in the room telling me how do I season my pasta. Get out the room.
I actually think we need to keep it in, if I'm honest. This is all part of it. Do you know what? Seasoning is important, guys. Remember, season your food.
Oh, good. So then I just started making, you know, posts. I stayed authentic to myself. You know, there's a lot of social media pages doing natural hair on Instagram. Yep. There's a lot of people who follow and they've got thousands of followers. And I've still got my humble less than 500. But I just kept to the cause. And over the time, it's kind of grown into a page where people contact me personally. Oh, do you do hair? Can you do mine? I've got bald patches. Can you help me? Like, how do I cover this? And I'm awful saying, like, I don't know how to help you with bald patches. It's not my thing. But that's made me want to now go into studying hair science and help people with not just natural hair, but natural hair problems, because I want them to embrace their natural hair. We live in a generation where it's good to have a weave, it's good to have a wig, but there's people coming up behind us that are doing that from the age of 14, 15, 16, and you never see their natural hair condition. Sure. And by the time they stop using them, they have no hair left.
Yeah.
And I don't want that. I don't want that for my children when they grow up. So I'm trying to push through to be able to not just be a hair page that shows how to look good with natural hair, but how to look after it, how to maintain it. You can go swimming. I just did a post on that today.
I just saw that actually. I loved it. Yeah, no, I loved that.
There's such stigmas around natural hair and what you can and can't do. So I just want to break those barriers down. And crown the melanin just now means embrace your natural self. It's the highest place of love that you can have, of crowning your melanin.
I'm not going to lie, I am meant to be learning how to swim in the next sort of like 4 months. And one of the things that I have been thinking about, I was like, when I go swimming, I need to get like one tight head cap or make sure my hair is braided when I do go, because then I have no time to be washing hair every time.
With your little bean heads, I can imagine it now. And you know she'll get one that has like Melanin and Me strapped across the side as well.
My brain.
Exactly. Do you know the funny thing? Actually, I went on a spa day on Tuesday and I was really like, I wasn't nervous. That's too much of a strong phrase, but I'd basically like washed my hair. We know how long it takes, right? It's a long process. Yeah. And like sorted it all out, like detangled, leave-in, whatever, whatever. And it wasn't till after I'd done it and I thought, shoot, I'm going to go for this spa day. It's going to be in and out of saunas and steam rooms and this and that. And I was thinking, I've done this on the wrong day. I've wasted my time. And I just thought I was going to come out and my hair was going to be so dry. And I smiled because I saw your post today, like your hair likes steam. Like it's good for your hair for moisture. And I literally came out and I was like, it was great. It literally was like super healthy. But again, we have these ideas and it's not until you actually, you know, you test it, that it's not till you test it that you see firsthand how it reacts.
Of course, completely.
And I think one of the things you said there about little ones, I don't know if you've seen, if anyone listening as well hasn't checked it out, awkward because it's Chris Rock and we know the situation, we just have with Chris Rock. But we're not going to talk about that. But he did a documentary actually called Good Hair. And it was quite a while ago. I think I have it on like VHS or something, or DVD.
Taking it back.
I think it might be on Netflix, you know.
Is it? We could put the link if it is, because I think it's one of those where I remember watching it, and obviously a lot's transitioned, a lot's changed since then, but from a child perspective, they obviously in the US were promoting like kiddie perms. So it's like, you know, the relaxer, you know, even in like the hair shops now, you have like your relax section, but you also have the same for the children, and it kind of just enhances, or you know, reinforces that this is something that should be normal. And like you say, Dee, like it's the trouble is a lot of young people are not getting to explore or experience what their natural hair looks like, and by the time it's too late because they're seeing bald patches and this and that. So yeah,
one thing that really stuck with me when I was watching that program is that they took some relaxer and they put in a can and the can melted. That's how much chemical is in that stuff.
Honestly, we've become so accustomed to having this bone straight hair, even now having a sleek, like I've got two, to me this is sleek, but to somebody looking at it, I know that the guys listening on here can't see, but I have waves in my sleek bun, and to me that's sleek. But for some people, they are not satisfied unless they have given themselves a kind of some heat damage, chemical damage to get this bone straight look, and our hair was never meant to be like
that feeling of sitting in the chair and someone and waiting for that. I remember sitting and waiting for that burn to be like, and Ray, you can't even empathize with this because you ain't relaxed your hair. So you're gonna be looking at me like, what are you talking about? Are you mad? Sitting there being like, I'm gonna keep this on for as long as humanly possible, because then I'm gonna come out looking like Beyonce, please. And literally you come out, you've got scabs in your hair. Like, what? Oh, like, this is what we do.
Oh, honestly. My goodness, that sounds traumatizing. Wow, you really do that.
If it really was, my mum used to have to come up to uni like every few months, so from Wolverhampton to Loughborough, just to like relax my hair, because I refused, once it got to a certain point, to be seen with any kind of kinky roots, because she had made me believe, not in any kind of bad way, I don't think my mum meant it in any kind of way to damage me, but she'd made me believe that my hair in its natural form wasn't manageable. So she was relaxing my hair from the age of 6. Remember, I don't think on the packaging you're supposed to start relaxing hair till 10. So I've been doing this since the age of 6. So if all you've been told over and over is your hair isn't manageable, I can't do this. Your hair is breaking every comb.
Yeah. I remember recently when Blue Ivy, Beyonce's daughter, was quite young and she was rocking the little fro. People were getting onto her saying, why ain't she relaxing her hair? Her hair looks snappy. I was like, leave the kid be.
Leave the child. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think I had a kind of similar experience where, like, especially coming from a mixed race household, like my mum, bless her, and we grew up, you know, I grew up in a very white area. So there wasn't like any shops with products. There wasn't any salons or anything where people were used to Afro-Caribbean hair. Even to go into a shop, I've had it where I've gone in to go for a trim, even now, and people are like scared because they're like, I don't know how to deal with this. Literally, I actually remember, I tell no lie, I bought a hairdresser some cupcakes once because they gave me a free trim because they were like, I've never touched Afro hair before. So she almost was like, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I'm going to give it my best shot. And it was almost like training for them. And it was a weird experience, man, but I got my cut. And she was so scared. She did it so like precise. So I probably got the best trim I've ever had, to be quite honest.
That's mad. So that's completely different to the experience that I've had. So my hairdresser is literally like lives around the corner from my mum and dad's house. And I've been going to her since I was like 12, 13. So before that, my mum and my sister would like cane row my hair. And then it came to prom. So she did my hair for prom. And then she did my hair for my wedding day as well when I got married, which is so mad. Like, she's seen me through the journey. Yeah.
She's looked after you. Cute.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out Sizzler C.
Through your platform, you share your own transitioning journey from, you know, regularly relaxing to now going natural. And you've just kind of touched on like when your mum used to come up to uni, and from when you started, obviously, you know, you were 6 when you started relaxing your hair. Like, how have you found the journey, like from a personal perspective, like holistically, how have you found it, exploring that about yourself?
It's hard. Like, I will never like lie to someone and say, yeah, just cut your hair off, it's easy, because it's not, because you go through, like, I had a friend that I know who just recently did the big chop, and she did it because of my page. And the first thing she, and the first, and obviously, you know, she's married to a white man. The first thing she said was, what if my husband doesn't think I'm pretty anymore? And I was thinking, oh my gosh, that doesn't even matter whether your husband is white. I had that same thought.
Yeah.
Because when you go from this whole ideology that you're supposed to have this bone straight, pretty, in sleek, no hair, out of place hair, to this afro that every curl is different and you don't know what products to use yet, and you're just looking in the mirror. I thought I looked like someone who just quite came out of prison. Like, I looked rough to me. So I really went through the first through phases of, God, this is ugly. So all I kept doing was just getting braids, because I was like, okay, this is pretty. Like, it's natural and it's pretty. But the braids have to come out eventually.
Yeah.
So I really just had to sit down with myself. And it became a self-love journey, because I was thinking, boy, if you don't love your hair and you're not confident in it, nobody's believing this. Nobody is going to be buying this. So I said, you know what? It's you one. So I think I found one technique that really worked for me, and I mastered it. And surprisingly, it lasted me like a week, and I must have gone to a barbecue, and this black guy's put to me and he's like, I really like your hair. And as a black guy, he probably didn't even realize that that comment alone,
that impact it's had,
it the means impact
it had, because I'm expecting him to look at me and be like, well, yeah, I look like that.
Yeah. Well, you like, don't see your hair mash up.
Why does your hair look like? And then, yet he was like, no, it's really pretty. And I was like, oh my gosh. So the more compliments you hear, and my mom was still relaxing her hair past the point of mine. So from she was a teenager all the way to in her 40s, late 40s, going into 50s. And it was after that that she did the big chop, and I was now doing her hair when after all these years. She's full circle. Mine, you know, to actually see the flip reverse of my mom then cutting her hair, and now people are saying, "Is that your mom? Her hair is fire!" And I'm like, "You see,
you've literally done full circle.
Nobody can tell you about your. I don't even care for the frizz anymore. Now I'm getting to the stage where my hair is long, and I get quite a lot more frizz than curl definition, and that's another phase that's a struggle because. I got so accustomed to having such defined curls, and I don't know how to always manage the frizz. I've got to a place where I'm like, yo, frizz or not, this is my hair, and I'm going to embrace it. And I rock the afro to work. I work in a male-dominated sector every day. So they're coming and looking at me like... They were like, oh, where's your long locks or braids that you had? I said, no, that wasn't real. This is it. This is me.
Yeah. I love that.
Take me as I am.
It's funny because it sounds similar to... So my journey was similar to yours, Dee, in the sense of I was always relax. I used to get weaves. The amount of... What I think about the money... Where I got this money when I was a student to pay for weaves, I do not know.
How much was it? How much like, weaves? I don't know much about.
So
weaves.
I'm. Listen, I don't know much about weaves.
Educate me.
So I was thinking I would pay to probably have it installed. I was paying at least £100, but on top of that, no, was it about £100? I want to say no, that's a lie. I want to say it was about maybe £70. But right. Then on top of that, you got to buy the hair. So by the time you bought the hair, and I was like, oh, I want it to be so full, like Beyonce. I don't know who I thought I was. So then by the time you bought the hair and everything else, you're looking at least, I would say about £150. Mm-hmm. So
how often would you do that for?
Well, this is the thing, you know, like it depends how long you're kind of willing to keep in. But for me, similar to you, Dee, as soon as I see some root coming through, I was like, no.
Yeah, no.
So, you know, you're looking at every like however long, 4 to 6 weeks, whatever. So that's when I learned how to relax my hair myself. But yeah, from then, during lockdown, I was the same. I was like, it was actually because after wearing wigs, I started to see my growth, and I was like, oh, actually, that's kind of cute. But because obviously the end is so like dead, it's very hard to picture your hair fully healthy. It's a very hard thing to visualize. And you see people on these natural hair videos who are kind of the end product. Whereas that kind of transitioning phase, it's not an easy thing because you know you have to fully commit either way.
Thank you.
So, and rather than, I know you had the big chop, D, where you kind of had it quite short. For me, because I'd kind of worn wigs for quite a long time without relaxing, I got it to a point where it was still short, but I didn't feel it was as dramatic. So I had quite a lot cut off the ends. And honestly, I'm going to get emotional now. I actually cried when I was in the hairdresser and she cut my hair and I saw the like coil spring up and I was like, is that my hair? I was like, that's not my hair. Surely not. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, we're about to go on a whole journey here, guys.
Oh, gosh.
I love
and now
that.
Look at it flourishing.
Look at you. Beautiful.
I was like, Dee's coming on, so I've got to make sure, you know, I'm not looking here with some mashup.
Earlier, like my hair is so mash up, like it's been in for like 3 weeks now, coming up to 4 weeks, and I'm like, I'm just rolling with it. I've been putting on turbans
through those phases. I'm telling you, there's not every day I want to do my hair. Like literally, I'm going through a phase right now where I just want to cut it off and start again. But I'm looking at the content thinking, nah, that looks
bad. Yeah.
it goes backwards if I put off and tell people to grow their hair. So I'm rolling with the punches.
It is one of those things that you've got to have stamina, whether it's building yourself up. I see so many memes of like building yourself up for wash day and all that kind of thing, but it's true. Like it's another part-time job. I remember someone saying that to me and I was like, it genuinely is another part-time job.
Wash days are mad. Like I just think to myself, like a wash day for me, it takes at least 6 hours because I like doing things properly as well. Yeah. So I would like condition it, do this, like go and do that. I'd even go out. Sometimes I just whack on my little turban on and I'm out there. Like I don't really business.
Thank you. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There's that whole stigma of you shouldn't go out without your bonnet. But listen, if I need to steam and condition,
I don't rush
that part of the process. But I don't get my nails done last week. And I was in there with the steam cap and my cultured bonnet. The nails have to be done and the hair is being done underneath as well.
Yes. Yeah. Love it. In more recent years, we've seen the natural hair being accepted in today's society. In fact, in America, I think in the last couple of months, they've just passed the law of natural hair not being discriminated against, which is actually mind-boggling to me.
You would think that's a thing.
Yeah, exactly. We just wanted to get your feel, your opinion on where you think this came from and what was the catalyst of this movement.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised that it had to be a law because, but at the same time, I feel like there was a lot of incidences where people were showing you, not even telling you by word of mouth, videos, footage of people having to cut their hair just to play a game, of being, you know, being made redundant or, you know, being told to leave their job. People even lying about the way they look before they even meet an interviewer. Just there were so many incidences where we had an opportunity or there was an opportunity to teach people about what to say and not to say that we probably wouldn't have needed that law. So now that the law's in place, I think a lot of people won't tread on it because they know they can get in trouble, but that's not educating the people who are still making the odd day-to-day comment. You know, every time I change my hair, I get often told, oh, I preferred your hair when it was long and straight. They don't realise that's damaging in itself because what you're saying to me is
I don't like
your natural form. I don't know. Basically. And they don't know what it takes every day to get up and have to style my hair, or the effort that I've put in to make me feel like I've made it to a nice standard. So for you to make that comment, it sets us all backwards. So you know, we shouldn't have needed that law, but I understand why it's in place.
I remember a couple of months back, I had my hair cane road, and I've got this mixed race girl in my class, and she comes in and she was like, oh wow, miss, your hair looks so nice. And all the other girls were like, yeah, miss, your hair looks so nice. And then literally like the weekend after that, she came in with her hair similar to how mine was. And I was like, literally, I told her, like, your hair is beautiful. You should be embracing it. Often she would have it straight. So whenever we've had that conversation, I've noticed now she started to wear it a little bit more natural. As Ash says, Ash loves a quote, you can't see what you can't see.
Yeah, there's power in the tongue. There is power in the tongue, guys. Like, you know, I don't think those people said those comments maliciously, but it pays just to say, I like your hair. That's versatile. Oh, how'd you do that? You know what I mean? I prefer.
Yeah.
Who are you to tell me what you prefer and what you don't prefer? Like, I care.
You don't, and because we wouldn't go and say the same thing to somebody, right? Like if you just thought something was different or you weren't too sure or whatever, you wouldn't be going, oh, you know what, like I don't think you should have gone with those highlights. You just wouldn't say that kind of comment. And I actually had one of the ones, this was from a family member when I had my like natural hair out and stuff, and they were like, oh, your hair, and they were like, well, at least you're still pretty, though. And it was like one of those where you're like, did this just happen? Really? Oh my God.
So
I would have left the event there and then. I'd have been like, right, bye. You know that Viola Davis gift? Got my bag gone.
Yeah, basically, because you don't deserve my presence if that's basing my face off of what I can pull and pull off. Like,
yeah. And it's one of those, right? I think for some people, it's so unfamiliar. And actually, I had someone say to me when they started to see, because again, it is a different thing, right? So for people, no one likes change, and people are very like, we're like animals that are very used to conforming to what we know. Mm-hmm. So for somebody who sees me most days, and let's say I'm wearing a blonde wig that's poker straight, and then after they've not seen me for a while, then they see me with my natural curls and my hair's big, and you know, I think it can be a shock to people, and they almost want to like understand why. And I remember having a conversation with somebody who was like, oh, like, is this thing you're doing with your hair because of the Black Lives Matter movement? And I was just like, no. Actually,
that is almost as
I'm covering my face.
Yeah, that is almost as worse as my hair, because obviously I've got these little beads at the minute. My hair getting compared to Monica's hair.
Oh yeah! I forgot about that. You know the episode where she goes to get her hair braided and she starts singing Bob Marley in the shower and gets stuck. Yeah. Oh my god.
Someone said, oh, your hair looks nice. It's like Monica or Friends. And I says, Lord of mercy.
she said, Lord of mercy.
Nah, she compared me to Monica. Oh, I told my sister was in stitches. But then it made me think. I was like, as if Bees to her point of reference is Monica or Friends.
Imagine that.
Is mental. Absolute mental.
Yeah, so anyone listening, guys, like if you've had comments, like don't worry, it's happened to the best of us. I think for me, one of the things that changed was like me being trigger ready with that response. So like when I would, it's a bit like, you know, if something racist happens and you kind of, you're a bit taken off guard. You're like, you know, where do I go from here? And depending on the environment you're in as well, it's how psychologically safe you feel, right? So like I would always get it where walking into an office where I'm the only face of color, and you know, I go in with a new hairstyle and everyone's then coming up like, oh, can I touch it? Oh, you look like Whitney Houston. No, please don't, please stay away from my desk. But like sometimes you just, because you don't know how they're going to respond, you have to kind of think about diluting your answer or how you're going to react to it. And I think my main thing was actually if somebody had a confrontation or a question or whatever it might be, a comment, it was just, do you know what, these are my curls and I love them and it's me and that's it. You know, there's nothing really more to it. It's hair at the end of the day. We know as Black women, as women of color, that it's a lot more than hair, but ultimately for the person looking at me, it's my hair, you know, the same way you have clothes.
I'm in the process of reading this book called Good Hair by Charlotte Mensah. And, you know, she said on one of her pages that, you know, for a Black woman or even in Black history, Black hair is art because it's so versatile in the styles that can be created from back then till now. It's an art in its form, in its true self, you know. So I, when those comments do come along, they do sting. But the one thing I've learned in order to adjust and to get used to it is, you saying back, yes, I love them, is affirming it to yourself, because that's part of the journey as well. You're going to have to start saying it and believing it. Otherwise, this whole facade that you're putting in every day, it starts to show even in the hair itself. Sure. You have affirm it the way you affirm everything else.
Yeah. Very true. Very, very true. And it's one of those things that, you know, like the more that you love it, the more that you embrace it, the more you want to treat it, the more you want to, you know, try new styles or try new things. Or I mean, the products, let's talk about the products. You know, expensive. People think it's cheaper. It's not cheaper, guys, but we want to nourish it and we want to invest, right? So it is. And likewise, you know, on the flip side, if people, like you said earlier, when you went to your event and somebody gave you that kind of that validation to be like, do you know what, you're rocking your hair. Like I genuinely don't think, and I think the other thing is for males, because it's a female thing where we tend to compliment each other and stuff a little bit more because we're more conscious of aesthetics, I would say if there's any males listening, like genuinely, if you're thinking it, like do say it, don't hold back. And ladies listening too, like if you see someone, we often either hold back because we're thinking, oh, we're not sure how they're going to take it, or if they're going to get jealous, they're going to think, you know, we feel jealous or whatever it might be. Like honestly, say it, because you never know how that compliment is going to land, and usually it builds that person up like you wouldn't imagine. So
can I just take this moment to tell you both beautiful ladies, your hair is on fleek. I absolutely love it.
Right. Well, go get your hair braided, Ray. Go get your hair braided.
My hair is nappy. I appreciate that. It's coming.
So Dee, we are obviously we know that hair is a very difficult, complex topic when it comes to learning and understanding. You talked a little bit about the YouTube. I know about the YouTube, trust me, watch so many YouTubes. So what do you feel are the common misconceptions or things that people tend to want to know answers on? Like you said, you had someone reach out to your page. What kind of are the things that tend to crop up a lot more?
So the first question that I always almost get asked is, how do I know what products to use? And again, like you said earlier, it's an investment. I read somewhere the other day that by the 30s, a natural haired woman has spent nearly £50,000 on hair products.
Ross,
lucrative. Like the market that even now, like they said, by between 2020 and 27, at least 50%, it's going to keep growing up. So if anybody's podcast and thinking, I want to make my own hair products, now is the time. Do it because the market is crazy when it comes to people buying hair products. So the question I always get asked the most is, what hair products should I use, because my hair is so dry, it's so coarse, it's so dense, nothing works. The first part of the hair journey is figuring out your hair type and what kind of products it has. And once you find that routine, stick to it. A lot of us want to jump on this wave of, oh, well, her hair looks like that, and she said it works for her. Yes, but her hair might not be the same as yours.
And it's porosity as well, isn't it? I remember always, like, when I kept watching this, I'm thinking, why did we not learn this in school? I'm like, what is porosity? I feel like I'm doing some science experiment, but it makes such a difference.
Because science experiment. I took some hair and put it in a glass of water, and it sunk, and I was like, that's it?
Yeah. Oh.
I now know what products to use, and from then that day it's been a game changer, because once you know your hair porosity and its hair type, you don't bother pick up products that don't agree with that. It's out a whole lot of money wasting.
Can I just point out as well, notice who owns the shop as well. Like I go in and I'm like, boss man, I need a conditioner. He just points you to the closest conditioner that he knows about. He knows nothing else about
Always the Asian brothers as well, you know.
So you're like, listen, like if you go in there and say, have you got? They're going to say no.
They also give you the most expensive thing as well.
Always.
So bugging.
Oh, well, yeah, there's so many brands that to choose from. So a lot of people always ask that. Then the next question is, well, how do I get it to grow? And I'm like, well, that's a hard one, because everybody's hair grows differently. Mm-hmm. I don't think my hair's grown a lot in the past 6 months. A lot of people see me and say, yeah, it has. But because of the shrinkage and how dense it is, it probably doesn't look like it can grow. But right now I've got it in two. You wouldn't know from when you see it out that it can go in two buns.
Sure. Mm. And I think a lot of the time with the trim it, sorry, I've just said what I was, the answer to what I was going to say. But a lot of the time with growing is a lot of people forget that, like, trimming is a very important process and part of it. And I think it was for me, like, I'm not a very, like, I wouldn't really know too much about products and brands and stuff like that. For me, it's more logical things that help me make sense of it. And I remember somebody explaining it quite well, that obviously, you know, if your hair gets dry, it's very easy to break. And as soon as the ends break, that's when, you know, game over, really. So, you know,
I can't grow.
keeping it moisturized, but also getting it trimmed regularly so your ends aren't splitting is keeping it healthy from the root down to the ends. And that for me was a big game changer.
Of course, even, you know, the simple things of moisturizing your scalp or massaging your scalp or the ingredients of peppermint, and those are your go-tos, but you've got to be consistent. A lot of people think it's an overnight thing. It is not. This natural hair journey takes time. You have to put in the work, and whether it's a couple of days a week, like, just do it. It's not an overnight
thing. It's so mad. I was at JD Gym in Birmingham, actually. My friend works there, so I went in. There's a little bit of a sauna, so I'd done my workout and then went in and sat in on the sauna. And this lady comes in with like some oil that she's like made herself. So she starts putting it and massaging it in her hair as we're in the sauna. We started talking and she's like, "This is my products. Like, I made it like over time. I just found what worked for me and I just put all these nice things together and it really does work for me." And I was like, "Oh my God, that's incredible." And then it made me think, when I think of back home in Zanzibar, people do that quite a lot, especially with like coconut oil. Yeah, coconut oil, especially, like, people will add their own little herbs and whatnot, and that's what they'd use for their hair. So I don't understand why we couldn't do that as well. But I guess it's a society that the resources that we've got to hand, it's so easily accessible and it's so much easier to go to the shops rather than for me to take an hour to watch this YouTube video to find out which oils I need, et cetera, et cetera.
I know. I love how you had a full on salesperson pitch. I bet you bought some oil from her as well. That's a new sales pitch. Yeah, get in your local sauna, get your oil out, and just be looking real like shiny.
Honestly, I did, because I was like, "This is incredible," and I use it to this day. Like, I'm looking at my bottle in front of me, and there's like a quarter of it left.
You want to give a shout out? What's the brand?
One sec. Now you're asking.
She's doing a whole advert now.
Yeah, it's here. So it's called
the listeners can't see.
Shea Natural.
Shea Natural.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Look at that.
Really nice bottle as well.
She's got a proper little label. I think one of the other game changers, which you might have also come across, Dee, was the when you're using products. I mean, I never used to look at ingredients. It's a bit like food as well, right? So when you buy a lot of foods and you don't tend to look at the back of the packet unless you're very diet conscious. And so you're thinking you're putting all these things to your body and you've got no idea what impact they can have on you, like preservatives and stuff. And I know that sulfate is like a big thing with shampoos and things. And so as soon as I knew that, I knew, okay, let's look for sulfate-free products and trying to, again, stay as natural, similar to eating, trying to stay as natural as possible, so it's coming from the earth as well. I don't know if that's what you tend to do with your products or something slightly different.
So that's another thing. Like, there's a lot of things that we shouldn't be using our hair, like sulfates, parabens, a lot of mineral that we shouldn't have. So yeah, of course, that's the first thing I look for. But a lot of people don't realize that it's not going to say on the back of the bottle sulfate.
Yes.
It's written in another form. So unless you know, or someone's put that advice out there, you could still be picking up a lot of shampoos that are saying sulfate free and still have sulfate in there. Recently, I had a post come up about products that can lead to infertility if you use this product for too long, and Olaplex is one of them. Look how many people buy Olaplex. Look how expensive Olaplex is, and the hair corrector that we were all using, because I've used Olaplex hair corrector, had an ingredient there that only just got banned in March 2022. Up until that point, they had it in there.
My hypochondriac self now is like, I can't have babies.
It's just
so scary.
You've got to be on point if you're going to do this journey seriously, so that not everything can go in your hair. Like, I use the hair corrector. Don't get me wrong, it was a good product. But the one thing that I noticed when I was putting it on, it was like, something about this smells like a relaxer. There's something in there that smells like...
chemical.
Yes.
Yeah. One of my friends that I've got, she's really, really good with like hair products. So I think during lockdown, she took that time to like taught herself the correct product. So she's really useful, actually, when I go and get my hair stuff and I want to try something new. She'd be like, no, that's got that, that's this, that's that, that's that. And I'm like, oh, okay, okay, you're coming again. Yeah. Exactly. But again, you've got to do the work. And often we think, well, we do have the time. It's just how we allocate that time. We don't feel like that's an important element.
Priority. And and I think as well, like, it's accessibility, right, as well. So again, I've moved, I mean, I've been sort of from the Loughborough, Leicester area, moved. I'm now back in Suffolk, so where I grew up at the moment. And again, like, there's no Afro-Caribbean hair shop. So if I'm going to buy products, I'm going to Ipswich, somewhere out further. But that being said, there are more products in kind of your typical stores. So Boots, I notice in Sainsbury's, they're coming through. In Sainsbury's even, they have Cantu is the one. Cantu is the one that gets through everywhere. Like, you can't ask Cantu. I don't know why, but it's there.
It's white owned. It's not black. Oh, yeah, it's white owned.
We've solved it. We've cracked it. That's the one. But it's a good thing because there is more accessibility. So if I know, let's say, for instance, I'm running low on something, okay, I can go down the road. I don't have to travel for it. But you're limited. So even if I were to say, well, this product maybe does have an ingredient that it's not going to be the best for me, you're limited. So
No, completely, I get it. And what I've noticed is that when they get through to the brand to put in it, for example, Boots, they're selling it for extortionate prices. So Eco styler, and you know the little pot, like not even the big pot,
the travel one.
It's $5.99. I was like,
oh. Yeah, man, edge tamer, like a tenner. What are you talking about?
You have to be desperate to want to buy that. I am going that to my little Asian shop, and I'll get that big 5 ounce tub.
Bathe in. I'm gonna go get that for £2. Like.
We're obviously talking about hair here, but we know for us Black women especially, it's so much more than just hair. So how do you feel like our hair has an impact on us mentally and even spiritually as well? How do the two intersect?
It's a good question, actually. I feel like I said earlier, it really is also a journey of self-love. If you already struggle mentally, I feel like we've always been told that our hair is our beauty. But where that's got lost, especially coming in this new generation, where that's got lost is our hair is our beauty, but not if it's your own. Like, as long as it's not, it may not be your own, even if you add a little piece in. It's very, very hard to find somebody who embraces their pure and natural hair. And that is the root of Crown the Melanin for me. I want to see what it looks like. Yes, we can style it. Yes, we can add gel. Yes, we can. But I want to see you embrace your natural texture, because there's a lot of people out there that are saying they're embracing their natural texture, but behind the scenes, they're using texture elongation kits. So we skip past the relaxing out, and there's texture elongation kits to make you make your curls more easier to manage. And I'm like, no, that's not it. It's if you are in a low place mentally and your hair is not in a good place, it has an effect on it. And you know, a person who does your hair often, or if you do your hair a lot, you will feel that. You will feel the change in your hair when you are not 100% yourself. But I feel like when you get to the other end, like, I feel like I'm at the other end now of loving my natural hair. Oh my gosh, you just want to tell the next person. So my sister's never had a relaxer. It's crazy, because I had a relaxer from the age of 6, and she may have a different hair type to me, I think she does, but she's never had a relaxer. And she's got this thing of every Christmas or every Easter holiday, she wears her natural afro out. She doesn't even style it, she doesn't even put twists in, she doesn't even add
love
product.
Takes out,
and I'm like, yes, she gets it. She's like, no, I want to wear it. Like, she doesn't even want to do her edges. She is like, this is it, and this is what you are going to get. And I just want so many more people to get to that place, because you see, when you get to that place, nothing or nobody can touch you. I tell you, you will go to an interview with your hair looking like that, because once you know how powerful your hair is alone as a Black woman, nobody can touch you. Nobody can say, listen, somebody could walk past you and be like, "What? Who do you think you are?" And I'm like, yeah, natural. Like, because there's so many people, even who are not of colour, who are walking past you, and they're not even rocking their natural hair. They've dyed it blonde. They've either got some extensions, they've either got some kind of perm that makes it straighter than what it is. They've got some. It is very, very hard to find someone who's walking around in their pure form.
I just thought as well, like, from even from a religious perspective, so just going back to the hair and the hair being a crown, so in Islam you're actually not permitted to cut your hair because it's seen as a sign of beauty for women.
So I went to church from a very young age, and I always one of the traditional churches that I went to, I also used to have to wear a head covering, like a hat or a fascinator, because I was told that is your head covering. And then I moved from that church and went to a more modern one where none of the girls there wore a head covering, and I was like, where,
what's
like,
this?
I'm seeing them up on the pulpit and I'm like, sis, where's your fascinator? Like, like, shame, like.
Yeah.
And then I spoke to someone, like another pastor who I knew, and she was like, Dion, like, nowhere in the Bible did it say that the head covering had to be a hat or a fascinator. She was like, in those days, where was a hat or where was a fascinator? Where was a sheath? She was
Can I just ask?
Yeah.
What's a fascinator?
So a fascinator is like, you know, the clipping with the little flowers that come out the end.
Oh, yes.
Or like
yes,
the covering
yes,
half.
Yes,
that
yes.
one of those. Like, you see people wearing the hair, the horse races. She was like, nowhere did it say that. We just made it that. But your hair is that is your covering. As long as you've got hair on your head, it is your covering. So like, just you have to see that it's more than hair.
Just going back on that as well, from a religious perspective as well, obviously Muslims are required to wear headscarves. I'm currently fasting, so I've been going into school with a headscarf on, so the kids aren't really used to seeing me with a headscarf, because usually I just freestyle. And over the last week I've been wearing my headscarf, and all the kids have been like so surprised, but they've been dead complimentary as well, like, they're like, oh my god, miss, your headscarf, it suits you so much, you look so beautiful. And I'm like, ah,
you're like, I know
just the little things in life.
And yeah, also like course. And from like you know, from a spiritual point of view as well, like, we talk about, you know, chakras, and, you know, that actually our head, you know, this area of us is our crown chakra. So, you know, from a sense of connection to, you know, wisdom and self-knowledge, enlightenment as well, I think there's something to be said for unlocking and embracing that part of us, you know, because it's not just like we're focusing on one part of the body, it all has to be in alignment, right? And I think one of the things that I remember feeling, which it's, I don't know, there's something about being outside that I definitely embraced through in lockdown. I love that feeling of being out and feeling like the sun on your skin and just being out and about walking. And, you know, there's something to be said for when you go out, and especially on a hot day, in a wig. Oh my god.
Oh,
like, especially when you got some itchy scalp under there, it's like, slapping your head, like, honestly, you feel contained, and for me, you feel suppressed. So like, although it's a physical feeling of like having your hair like underneath this, what feels like to some extent a hat, like, you feel suppressed, and I felt like it was almost shrinking yourself. And I remember like walking out, and when you've got your hair out and you're out and about and you feel the breeze in your hair, and yeah, and you're like, this is it. Yeah.
Nothing beats it, honestly. I get it. I've never actually wore a wig or a weave, so I can't even say
neither
that I know
can
what
I.
That's like. I've never wore a wig or a weave, but I'm saying
we hear you there.
Yeah, it's a funny one, because I think, and one of the things I am very mindful of, and obviously this podcast recording today, we're talking about natural hair, and yes, all three of us are here embracing it. But what I would say is that it's not to say that, to disregard anybody that does use wigs, weaves, relax, or whatever. Everyone's on their own journey. And I think one of the things that I've still been questioned now, you know, I've still been questioned now, like, oh, why do you wear wigs, or why do you sometimes I even like have crochet or something just to mix it up? And I say, because first of all, I don't know why you're questioning me, but second of all, you know, you don't understand my lifestyle. So for me, like, I don't always have the time to be styling stuff because of my work, my routine. Like you, Dee, very active. Like Ray, you know, she's in and out of CrossFit, like sweating and all of this stuff. Like, I don't have, you know, and so therefore it might be more convenient and healthier for my hair actually to put it in some twists, put a wig on so I can go to work and kind of feel like, you know, I've done myself up and I feel happy and confident in myself, but also my hair's protected. So when I go on the tube or when I go out and about, I'm not getting all this dust and everything else. And then I'm feeling like I've got to wash it more. So I think one of the things I would say is just like, there's no judgment here. And I would say that if it wasn't, if in all honesty, if it wasn't for wigs, I don't think I would have made that journey, because I wouldn't have had all that time for my hair to grow and just have that ability to just let it breathe. Because yes, okay, I'm joking about the suppressing thing, but you know, also you've got that flexibility, that versatility. Of course. So yeah.
No, I completely agree with that. Like I said, I was relaxed for so long and it was a lot easier. I did track, I go to the gym, and it was manageable in that way. I've just had to learn how to adapt that with natural hair so that I can go and do those things. But I know a lot of people may not be able to. So it takes time. And if in that time you feel like, well, I'm going to wear my wig, well, I'm going to keep relaxing for now, do that. But the main point is your hair still healthy? Because if it is, if you don't, like, I can't be mad at you for that.
Yeah.
No,
in, exactly. In Tanzania as well, there seems to be this culture of, so as a young woman, your hair is all natural until the point where you get married. And then, because when you get married, well, I'm getting a bit technical here, but in Islam, which what most people in Tanzania are, so if you get jiggy jiggy, you've got to wash your hair after to like cleanse yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, after you're married?
After you've had sex. After you've married.
We got the jiggy jiggy reference, Ray. We got the jiggy jiggy reference. We got that.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so after you're married and you have sex with your partner or whatever, you've got to wash your hair. So that's why most women would then relax their hair, because it's so much easier to maintain. Was adamant whenever I did get married. I'm no longer married, by the way. Whenever that did happen, I was like, I'm not getting my hair relaxed for nothing. I will wash it wherever I can, but I'm not relaxing it.
And actually, that, you know, because the washing, sometimes we can see it as like, that's a really good cleanly thing to do for hair. There's a lot of debate about how much is too much, how little is too, you know. But ultimately, I think, again, one of the best things I heard was about manipulation of the hair, which is what comes back to the wigs for me, is that if my hair is twisted up, I've detangled it, I've got what I need to, and I've got my wig on, like, it's not being manipulated. Whereas if it's out and I'm constantly brushing it, or I'm constantly messing around with it or doing something to it, I'm either using oils from my hands, or there's something that's happening to it. And likewise, you say about the washing, Ray, like, the more often we wash it, the more open it is for damage, if that makes sense as well.
Exactly.
So for someone who's listening, who may be transitioning their hair, we know there's so many approaches, but like, what in your opinion are the best kind of three things that you found during that transitioning period?
Protective styles.
Yeah.
So rather than keep looking at how like when you're going to do the big chop, or how long is it going to take to get it curly, put it in a protective style 6 months. It's not going to harm you, because you're going to still look after your scalp in those 6 months. So, you know, protective style. Two, in that time, find a good shampoo, a good conditioner, and a good oil to seal your hair, because they're the three things that you're going to need to lock in the moisture. And three, before you even do the big chop, start to look at the products that you could be using, that you're going to try. And the way you can do that without spending so much money is to subscribe to things such as Trezatress. That's how I started my natural hair journey. I didn't go out and just buy any products. Trezatress sends you 5 products a month, full-size, proper-sized, and you start to work your way through and say, yeah, that worked, no, that didn't.
Oh, that's interesting.
I had a small little collection of products that worked for me, and those that didn't, and I started to use ones that didn't and gave them away to people that could use them. So rather than go out and spend like £50-60, because it's very easy to do that, Treasure Tress, £23 a month and 5 products every month. And all I could do was trial and error. That's it.
Wow. We'll have to link that onto the footnotes. Rather than, that sounds brilliant.
You know,
giving
that £50,000 that we spend on hair products.
That's crazy. Just the last couple of things then. If you were to give advice to your 15-year-old self, what advice would you give your 15-year-old self? I can see the intent in your eyes.
We're getting deep here, Dee. We're getting deep.
Yeah, man. Probably that, you know, I know you don't like your features right now that are on your face, and I know you don't like your hair in the way that it looks if it's not primmed and proper, but if you love yourself a little bit more and hang around with the right people, it's okay. It's going to be okay.
Yes, we love that. And then that. 3 songs that you're currently listening to so we can pop onto our Melanin and Me playlist. If you don't know about it, Queens, you need to Apple Music. And it's on there.
Right now. Oh, okay, so one is Stormzy, Superheroes.
Oh, nice. I love it. I love that song.
I don't think we've got any Stormzy on the playlist, actually.
That song, literally, Superhero. It is all me, Black Queen, you're immaculate. Like, yes, yeah. I am. Second one is Doja Cat Woman.
Doja Cat Woman, yeah.
Let I love me the woman. Yeah, man, it lets me, I like to jig up myself to that. And third one, oh God, I had this on the tip of my tongue. Oh gosh, I'm gonna have to go to my Spotify.
Go on then.
Oh, Burna Boy, Way Too Big.
Way Too Big. Burna, a bit of Burna. Burna Boy.
Love
way
a bit of Burna. Way Too Big. Dee, it's been absolutely amazing to have you on the podcast. It's been, I could honestly, it's been a pleasure. It's been a long time coming. Like I said, I've been waiting for this hair conversation. I mean, obviously, our podcast is about health, wellness, and self-improvement topics. And I think this fits so nicely because we are, you know, when we look at health, we look at it holistically. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, hair is such a big part of that. And I think it's been great to hear your story. And we thank you for sharing that with us. So just tell listeners where they can find you and where they can find Crown the Melanin.
Yes, man. So of course, I'm mainly on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook under Crown the Melanin, all one word. But if you ever want to reach out to me personally and we can have a chat, it's crownthemelanin@outlook.com, but the melanin has 2 N's at the end, outlook.com, and I will always get back to you. We can have a chat. Yeah, of Aww. Course.
Amazing. And so listen, ladies, do reach out. Dee is an absolutely incredible woman, and we just know like how important it is to be able to have somebody in your corner if you've got questions, and you know you're going to get an answer without judgment. So do reach out to Dee, and we hope you've enjoyed today's episode. And for now, stay blessed, wear that crown with pride, and keep shining.
Thank you
more than ever. Wear that crown of pride.
Yes.
Yes.